This is Mulberry Christian Radio with our weekly global news report. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promised a response at a time and place of our choosing after blaming both Yemen's Houthis and Iran for Sunday's missile attack on Ben-Gurion Airport. The Houthis then announced a blockade on the airport and warned foreign carriers not to fly there. Six people were lightly injured as the missile hit. It was not shot down by Israeli defenses. On the Gaza front, Israel's Security Cabinet approved a major ground operation today. It's designed to take back territory in the Gaza Strip and includes a call-up of reserve soldiers in a tactical shift designed to defeat Hamas and free the hostages. A national movement to protect children from an agenda determined to sexualize our kids will launch a prayer initiative in five major cities next week to restore the sacredness of gender and family as defined by God. And Little Angels, a new family sports comedy by actor Dean Cain, hits theaters June 6th, focusing on redemption and American values. And the creators of The Chosen have announced a June premiere date for Season 5 on Prime Video. And a former NFL star and football analyst who once made fun of his Jesus freak teacher tells CBN News he's now on a mission to teach kids important life values through the gospel message. Israel Ambassador Danny Dannon told CBN News the toughest part of his UN role is sitting through sessions and hearing those lies about Israel. After Houthis' missile attack on Israel's Ben-Gurion Airport, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made good on his promise to strike back as joint Israeli-U.S. air campaign pounded Houthi targets along Yemen's coastline. Israel also continued its massive call-up of reservists for a sustained ground operation against Hamas in Gaza. Netanyahu made clear that these would not be in and out raids, but a sustained effort to defeat Hamas and gain the hostages' release. A former Mossad counterterrorism specialist told CBN News the real Middle East problem isn't Hamas, Hezbollah, or the Houthis, but their bigger brother, controllers in Iran. The proxies, he said, are marionettes whose strings are being pulled in Tehran. And Friedrich Merz, the leader of a coalition formed after Germany's elections, has failed to become chancellor on the first ballot. His surprise failure in the secret ballot is the first for a German coalition since the end of World War II. In a new report, the Department of Health and Human Services has denounced so-called gender-affirming care. HHS analyzed hormone treatments, puberty blockers, and gender-altering surgeries, calling them destructive. So, the world will know more than 7,700 people were baptized in Huntington Beach, California, among 30,000 worshipers in a 10-hour event past weekend. Among them was the notorious Gambino family crime boss Sonny the Bull Gravano, who gave his life to Jesus. A horse named Sovereignty defeated the favorite journalism on a muddy track at Saturday's Kentucky Derby. Some are wondering if it was a heaven-sent headline. Sovereignty's jockey gave thanks to the Lord for the victory. The United Kingdom has recently been known as one of the places most resistant to the gospel. Yet, as CBN News' Wendy Griffith discovered, the UK is undergoing a remarkable spiritual shift. One miracle after another, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, now dean at Regent's University's Robertson School of Government, tells CBN News it's heartbreaking to watch the attacks on Israel and Jews since October 7th, but it's uplifting to watch God work in the chaos. Since the deposing of Syrian dictator Bashar Assad last year, Israel's concerns about Turkey have grown, in part due to the ISIS roots of Syria's new president, but also because Turkish leader Recep Tayyip Erdogan would like to see a revived Ottoman Empire. And President Donald Trump made a surprising announcement from the Oval Office that the U.S. would stop attacking the Houthis after the terror group said it would halt its attacks on Red Sea shipping. That didn't stop concerns in Israel that the Iranian-backed Houthis would continue their missile firings on the Jewish state. U.S. and Israeli aircraft had attacked a key port for the Houthis, and Israel leveled the airport in Sana'a, Yemen's capital. Israeli leaders continue to warn Iran that it would be held accountable for the actions taken by the Houthis. CBN News visits the U.S. southern border with Mexico, where the change since President Trump took office is remarkable. Paul Pateri rode along with a Border Patrol chaplain near El Paso to observe the difference. Defense Secretary Peter Hegseth has ordered an unprecedented purge of top-level generals at the Pentagon, declaring less generals, more GIs. Former NFL quarterback Tim Tebow has been involved in assisting in child trafficking rescues for more than a decade. Recently, his foundation teamed up with a national task force to rescue 71 missing children in New York. Cindy Jacobs, one of the nation's leading prophetic voices, tells CBN News Chris Mitchell about a Shields Up prayer alert to stop terrorist sleeper cells targeting major U.S. U.S. cities. A new documentary reveals the untold story of Ukraine's evangelical Christians on the front lines of Russia's brutal war. CBN spoke with the film's executive producers. Without them, there would be no us. As Mother's Day approaches, CBN's Terry Meeswin, Ashley Key, and Seema Solo, okay, join Charlene Aaron for a tribute to moms on this week's prayer link. President Donald Trump appears to be sending mixed signals on whether the U.S. will demand that Iran stop its nuclear enrichment program. Enriched uranium is a key component of a nuclear bomb. The president told reporters Wednesday the decision hasn't been made. Yet last week on a radio show, he said there were only two ways to deal with Iran's centrifuges: blow them up nicely or blow them up viciously. The president will visit two Gulf states and Saudi Arabia next week. He plans to decide soon whether the U.S. will change the name of the Persian Gulf to the Gulf of Arabia or the Arabian Gulf. Communist China has quietly backed away from the simmering trade war with the U.S. agreeing instead to tariff talks. And the Supreme Court handed a victory to President Trump this week, ruling that, at least for now, the Pentagon can enforce its ban on transgenders in the military. Only God, a couple who married 5 years ago as a gay and transgender, later put their faith in Jesus. As part of their transformed lives, they just had their second child. During a very dark time for the Christian faith in a country that once spread the gospel worldwide, God is again pouring out His Spirit in Great Britain. Christianity died and has risen again. Israel's military is keeping close watch on Syria and has conducted airstrikes near Damascus, as many Syrians fear the spread of Sharia law and extremist attacks. CBN's Chuck Holton reports from northeast Syria. Multi-Grammy Award-winning artist CeCe Winans talks about her Mother's Day weekend, women's conference, and upcoming international tour. Get a preview of the latest Mission Impossible installment. Plus, Darius Washington shares new music on this week's Studio 5. Israel followed through on a pledge to shut down UNRWA schools for Palestinians in eastern Jerusalem Thursday, citing the UN agency's ties to Hamas and curriculum inspiring terror against Jews. The Jewish state finds itself alone to fight the Houthis in Yemen after the U.S. made separate agreements to cease attacks. Defense Minister Israel Katz warned both the Houthis and Iran against further attacks against Israel. And a new poll shows most Palestinians in both Judea/Samaria and Gaza support the October 7, 2023 Hamas massacre and kidnappings against Israel. More Palestinians would support Hamas over the Western-backed Palestinian Authority if authorities held elections. And Pope Leo XIV, formerly Cardinal Robert Prevost, has become the first American-born pontiff to lead the Roman Catholic Church. He celebrated his first Mass as Pope in the Vatican's Sistine Chapel. President Trump pulled the nomination of Ed Martin for the key post of U.S. Attorney in D.C. yesterday because a GOP senator opposed him. Instead, Martin will get another position in the Justice Department. And Trump nominated Fox News host Judge Jeanine Pirro for the U.S. Attorney job. Holy awe. 2,000 British young people gathered for all-night prayer last weekend in the London Borough of Hackney, the latest sign of salvation, healing, and deliverance descending upon the United Kingdom. And senior Trump advisor Paula White Kane tells CBN News' Billy Halliwell about the president's faith, her role in the White House, and why she believes America fell into trouble. The organizers of last weekend's Baptize California worship event, the largest mass baptism in U.S. history, have bigger plans to coordinate churches for Baptize America in June. And a crowd of masked anti-Israeli protesters stormed the library Wednesday at the Columbia University as lawmakers grilled college presidents on Capitol Hill about continued anti-Semitism on their campuses. Florida Congressman Byron Donalds was a street-smart kid from Brooklyn who encountered the Holy Spirit and was saved at a Cracker Barrel. Today, he's one of the most influential voices in the MAGA movement and perhaps the next governor of Florida. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un has banned his subjects from eating hot dogs, labeling their eating an act of treason, the New York Post reports. The ban is part of a wide-range crackdown on Western culture. People caught selling or cooking hot dogs face the prospect of time in the country's infamous labor camps, the Post adds. A Muslim man on social media stands before an old British church saying, "You'll be excused to think that this is a church, but as is the case across the UK, we took it over. It's now actually a mosque. Christianity is depleting, atheism is unfulfilling, Islam is here and is here to stay." For decades in Britain, interest in church was so low that thousands of historic church buildings were abandoned, with some turned into bars, skate parks, and mosques. And in this officially Christian nation, where the king is prayed over and anointed with oil by an archbishop, polling shows that most British Christians experience hostility and ridicule for their faith. One Army veteran was convicted last year for a thought crime. For his private prayer, and residents living near abortion clinics have been warned about praying inside their own homes. A public stand for Christ here could easily cost you your job or career. In officially Christian Britain today, it is Bible-believing Christians who are the outsiders. They're the ones who are expected to keep silent and not offend others. The Rushmore Borough Council west of London even proposed criminalizing public Christian prayer, singing, and evangelism in the towns of Aldershot and Farnborough before an intervention by Christian Legal Center attorney Michael Phillips temporarily halted the move. Phillips told us it was literally banning almost everything. It would ban amplifications, ban singing, ban street preaching, if it is hostile toward people with protected characteristics. It means the dissemination of free speech. These are the kinds of threats that we are seeing across the country. One of the evangelists facing a ban is Jamie Brody, who told us about one of his encounters with police. Some junior officers came and they tried to shut off the microphone straight away, Brody recounted. "So I began recording them, and I just tried to engage them in a discussion. And I said, 'Look, please, can you tell me what law you're acting on?' She then called for backup. In the end, 8 officers came. When we asked Jamie if a new law against public preaching would stop him, he told us much of the New Testament was written from prison, so no. Andrea Williams of Christian Concern, which is helping Jamie, said, "This just didn't happen overnight. This has been happening for decades in this country." Williams says while there are large, dynamic churches in the UK, anti-Christian hostility has caused many British Christians to self-censor, to keep their faith private. There's a whole raft of self-censorship. If it's as if we become ashamed of the gospel, ashamed of our history, ashamed of who Christ is, so that we'll remove him from the public space," Williams said. Suddenly, after decades of both religious apathy and secular opposition, British newspapers are beginning to use the word revival. British churches reported record attendance on Easter, and more British young men are going to church. Justin Briley, the author of The Surprising Rebirth in Belief in God, said, I think that's been the surprise for me, is a real wave of interest, especially interesting from young people in this country, who it appears are returning to church again. Very often, these are young people who don't necessarily have any history with Christianity. This new generation that are rising up, William said, they're growing up with no knowledge of Christianity. They don't even know if they're male or female. They've been given no idea the beauty and value of marriage. When they've been told all of these things, they're confused, and that's why this new wave of Christians are generally quite radical about justice and truth, because they've lived with the fallout. Jamie Brody, too, believes the revival is near. I can feel it, he said. I can feel it in my fingers. He, God, is doing it. And I believe that in the UK we will see a significant revival. We will see it. Jamie also says God has taken the attempt to silence his preaching and turned it around. I have never seen more unity in the local area between the churches, and I have never seen more interest in evangelism. Brady said, God knows what he's doing. The British author G.K. Chesterton once wrote that Christianity has died many times and risen again. It appears to be rising again in Britain. Israel is following through on its pledge to close United Nations schools for Palestinian children, as Israel seems to be left standing alone against the Houthis. Meanwhile, a new survey shows half of Gazans approve of the Hamas attack on October 7th. Israel's crackdown on the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, working in the Jewish nation, now includes shutting six schools in mostly Arab Eastern Jerusalem. Students and teachers arrived on Tuesday to find the schools locked up for the foreseeable future. When I hugged the teachers goodbye, I started crying because I didn't know which school I'd go to, where I would continue learning, said student from the Shufat Basic Girls School. UNRWA runs much of the education system for Palestinian children, but many in Israel say it's teaching the kids to be anti-Israeli and pro-terrorist. David Bedine, who heads the Center for Near East Policy Research, has been exposing the Palestinian curriculum and the UNRWA summer camps for decades. In an earlier interview, he showed a page from a textbook the UNRWA uses featuring a female terrorist. Pointing to a photo, he explained, "This is Dalia Mukhairi, who murdered 36 Jews in the terror attack in 1978, and she's glorified in this book, and there's a whole curriculum for her to run by the UNRWA." Roden noted that the curriculum is teaching children to murder Jews, and has had three main points. One, the delegitimization. The delegitimization of Israel's existence and the Jews' very presence in the country. Two, demonization of both Jews and Israelis. And three, the absence of any call for peace. Since the Trump administration made a separate peace with the Houthis earlier this week, Israel finds itself standing alone against a Yemen-based terror group. Israel Defense Minister Israel Katz warned the Houthis against an attack. Katz cautioned, "The Houthis will absorb heavy blows from Israel if they continue firing on us." This week, the Israeli military destroyed much of the Houthis' main port and nearly all of the airport in Sana'a, the Yemen capital. Katz also threatened which arms and funds the Houthis, saying, "You are directly responsible for what we did to Hezbollah in Beirut, Hamas in Gaza, Assad in Damascus, and the Houthis in Yemen will also be done to you in Tehran." pollsters recently furnished some startling new numbers from Palestinians. Of those who live in Gaza, half of them, more than a million, believe Hamas did the correct thing in launching its October 7, 2023 massacre inside Israel. On the question of disarming Hamas, 85% of Palestinians in Judea and Samaria and 64% in Gaza opposed disarming the terror group. If elections were held today, 43% of Palestinians would vote for Hamas and just 28% would vote for the Western-backed Palestinian Authority. In Jerusalem on Friday morning, U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee announced a new U.S.-led plan to distribute humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza. Huckabee laid out two criteria. The first is that food be distributed efficiently, but also that it's distributed safely inside Gaza to the people who desperately need it. The other factor, and this is an important one, is that all of this be done in a way so that Hamas is not able to get their hands on it. Huckabee blamed Hamas for stealing aid intended for the people and for the lack of aid to Gazans. "We are here today with a crisis, not because of Israel," he said. "We are here today because of Hamas. They've initiated the crisis, they have prolonged the crisis, and they have exacerbated the crisis." Huckabee says the plan involves a partnership of governments, NGOs, and charitable organizations from around the world. A Virginia school district is being investigated after it launched a sexual harassment investigation against three high school male students who reported complaints about the presence of a biological female in the boys' locker room. Attorney General Jason Myers announced earlier this week that the state will investigate Loudoun County Public Schools for launching a Title IX investigation against the students after expressing that they were uncomfortable when a biological female changed clothes in the boys' locker room. The Loudoun County School Board policy allows students to use school bathrooms and locker rooms according to gender identity rather than biological sex. WJLA-TV reports. The policy also prohibits video and audio recordings in locker rooms. The young male students are being investigated because of a video recording the transgender students submitted their conversation in the locker room. Seth Wolf is a parent of one of the students. He withheld his name speaking to WJLA-TV, but his attorney later confirmed to Mercury News that Wolf was the father who spoke on behalf of his son. He was questioning why there was a female in the male's locker room. The father said, "I don't think my son should be punished for expressing his First Amendment right and being able to ask questions," he told WJLA-TV. "They were having a conversation with their peer group. They weren't directly asking or interacting with the other student. And just the fact that they can't ask those simple questions, and then if they do, they're being punished in a way where now we have serious charges that can affect his future here going forward." Wolf expressed outrage that his child was facing serious consequences for sharing his opinion, but the transgender student is allegedly flying under the radar, even though she violated the policy of recording his son in the locker room. "My 15-year-old son is being unfairly targeted for simply asking a basic question that any boy would be asking in that situation. It's astonishing that Loudoun school officials are subjecting him to a formal investigation for a bogus charge that could derail his life," he said. The Founding Freedoms Law Center is representing Wolf's son and is criticizing the school district for its bathroom policy. They added that the LCPC is also currently under formal investigation by the U.S. Department of Education for its policies related to gender identity. "This is yet another egregious example of how LCPC continues to defy state law on transgender policies, as well as President Trump's recent executive order. These high school kids did absolutely nothing wrong, and the school needs to end this baseless investigation immediately, said Josh Hetzler, legal counsel for Founding Freedoms Law Center. This is not the first time the school has made headlines for its policy. As CBN News reported, the school division faced criticism and a $30 million lawsuit in 2020 for how it failed to respond to an alleged sexual assault of a girl committed by a teenage boy who entered the girl's bathroom wearing a skirt. A Virginia juvenile court judge found the transgender teen guilty in that case, but the family of the victim claims the superintendent at the time lied to the public to cover up what occurred. Wolf said the school district's policy on inclusions are harming children. They're at a young age. They are not comfortable with their own bodies yet. And then to be subjugated, to have someone else, a little bit opposite gender, to be around, that it really does start to create issues and questioning of who's protecting us and who's keeping us safe and who's making these decisions that are affecting not only our future, but actually our experience in high school. Meanwhile, Governor Glenn Youngkin and Attorney General Jason Myers quickly condemned the LCPS's action. Students who express legitimate concerns about sharing locker rooms with individuals of the opposite biological sex should not be subjected to harassment or discrimination, he added. This is just the latest example of what's happening when school boards disregard common sense. The safety, dignity, and privacy of every student in Virginia should be non-negotiable. This is about safety and privacy, not political correctness, and it's time Loudoun County recognized that. CBN News has reached out to Loudoun County Public Schools for comment. Board Chair Melinda Mansfield and Superintendent Aaron Spence say they reject any characterization that implies our schools are unsafe or that we fail to protect the rights of all students. LCPS also complies with federal Title IX regulations, which require the investigation of formal complaints. We remain committed to upholding the rights of students established under the applicable federal and state law and will continue to create and nurture environments that is welcoming and accepting for all students so that everybody has the opportunity to learn, grow, and succeed, they added. And this concludes our weekly Global News Report, brought to you by Mulberry Christian Radio. Till next time, have a blessed week.